Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mike, just say everything you said. As you said it right from the start, we'll go again. Oh, what a day. Oh, hello, listeners. Welcome to the Keith Walsh podcast with my friend Mike. We've been talking for about
20 minutes, I'm going to say. On the two Johnnies, we sorted them out.
Yeah.
Misogyny's not good for people out there, okay?
Don't be sexist or misogynist.
Yeah. But we ultimately kind of we had an argument about we danced around the whole thing because it's a very difficult conversation to have, the whole misogyny and cancelling. But we understand now that the two boys are going to be starting their program on 2FM, which I won't be listening to. Only for the reason that I don't have 2FM anywhere in the house programmed in, and I'm not going to go out of my way to listen to something new. I'm too fucking old for that shit.
It's the Keith Walsh podcast. It's essential like your breakfast. It will get you up and going, learn some things you didn't know. Yeah, it's the Keith Walsh podcast. It's the Keith Walsh podcast. Give you energy like Buckfast. And if your head's in a pickle or you're looking for a giggle, it's the Keith Walsh podcast. Yeah.
I might tune in, but we're not the target audience, Mike. We're not the target audience.
No.
Ultimately, our conversation ended with us saying it's we're happy that they're getting the chance to do their show.
Yes.
I'm sure they'll do a fine job.
Then it ended with you saying, I haven't been recording, and I called you a tit.
Oh, you sexist.
Oh, sorry, I can't.
How dare you?
Men have got breasts.
You just can't. A tit is a little bird. I've got loads of them out the back.
I'm very warm all of a sudden. Now I can't hear you. You're drinking tea, so the listener is going to be just listening to nothing.
That's fine.
Unless I put some content in.
Well, we recorded nothing for 20 minutes. Oh, that was great. It was a great 20 minutes, though, as well, Mike.
It was, actually. It was nice to have a chat, because I said at the very beginning I needed to talk. I needed to get stuff off my chest. And it seems I have done, and I haven't embarrassed myself. And I think, as can often happen in these conversations, you tie yourself up in knots trying to say the right thing, and you end up not saying the right thing.
Yeah.
So I probably ain't sounded like a misogynistic twat.
Oh, no, you didn't. Twat? You can't say twat. I wonder, actually, saying things like twat or the C word, is that like, you know, if you're using someone's one sex's genitalia as a bat.
Jesus, no, that's a step too far.
Okay.
Isn't a twat a part of a nun's habit?
Oh, I thought it's a nun's bad habit.
You can't say stuff like that.
I can say it about nuns.
They're androgynous.
They're married to Jesus. They're brides.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Who could say that?
Oh, to fix my twat. I couldn't. Is it a part of a nun's habit?
I don't know. I heard that once.
Right.
I don't know whether that's true or not. I've dredged that up now.
I'm just thinking of a nun's trying to, like, I've just cleaned my twat. We should stop talking about it. After that brilliant conversation that we had that we didn't record, about a sensible conversation with the two Johnnies, Putin, we started talking about World War III and Putin, and you were talking about John Sweeney.
I was. John Sweeney, at John Sweeney. Is it John Sweeney? John Sweeney Roar? I think it is John Sweeney Roar. He's a British journalist who got sacked by the BBC for being a little bit controversial and actually speaking the truth about a number of things and having an opinion. But he is in Kyiv at the moment, as everybody's calling it. Yeah. You know, we were all brought up with Kiev, and all of a sudden it's Kyiv. But anyway, Chicken another Kyiv. Broadcaster got into trouble about that during the week. Mine and your favourite host, Ryan Tuberty, came on, and his sort of monologue was all about why they were pronouncing it some way. And then somebody, I think, wrote in or said something along the lines of, listen, they're under bombardment from a, you know, an alien fucking invader at the moment. So let's not be taking the piss and whatever. And then some justification online about, you know, well, it's a light entertainment program. And then somebody quite rightly piped up, if it's a light fucking entertainment program, don't take the piss out of people who are at fucking war. So that's left aside. But John Sweeney, I was listening to him this morning. Yeah, he did Finding Ghislaine, I think, on LBC.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
Very, very good journalist. And he, you know, he found, you know, war crimes and evidence of all sorts of bombs and these bombs that take the oxygen out of the air and do this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gone full metal jacket, and Putin is not, he's lost the run of himself. He was actually saying that Putin's on quite a lot of steroids for a bad back, which is why he appears puffy in the face sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's a fact. This gentleman has fact-checked what he says. So, yeah, even though lots of people don't get to know him, he said it before to some other head of state or whatever, that, you know, I'm on steroids, a bit of a pain in my back. Or whatever. Now he's gone complete fucking, you know, Avengers-style crazy.
Doolally.
Yeah.
I did see someone explain the... Because it's kind of hard to know really what his issue with the Ukraine is, you know? I mean... You're not supposed to call it the Ukraine either. You're supposed to call it Ukraine.
Yes, it's like the Philippines aren't the Philippines. They're Philippines.
Philippines. the Italians are just Italians.
Yeah. Lazy.
Yeah, someone explained it that the problem for Putin was that Ukraine were after removing themselves from whatever you want to call it, the USSR, the Soviet Union, whatever, and they were doing just fine on their own. And they had become a progressive Western society, and they were starting to enjoy all the trappings of a progressive Western society. Freedom of speech.
Free media. Yep.
Free media. Yes. Yeah, so they could, all that kind of stuff. A propaganda-free life, really. And it was starting to pay dividends then for the people. They were happier. Yeah. They had a really friendly, nice president, vice president, a couple of Jewish lads anyway, as well. Just to point that out for anybody who heard the Russians saying that they were going to rescue the people of Ukraine from the Nazis.
Yes.
The country's been run by two Jewish people. But the big problem was he was trying to keep the people of Russia under his thumb, trying to siphon off a lot of money, keep them poor, keep himself rich, keep himself and his friends rich, and keep the people down. And they were starting to see Ukraine, and that has an effect on a country, because they're like, well, hang on, why are we living like this? And why is, you know, this part of the former USSR, call it, they seem to be thriving. That's what we want. And that's not good for...
It's not good for a dictator if people start looking west instead of looking east. You know, that's really bad for Putin. And, you know, Ukraine was part of the Russian Federation and they gave it up. And as part of that, in fact, the West denuclearized Ukraine. So they had nuclear capabilities, you know, and that can be seen now as long-term, a bit of an oops, you know, they should have left them with one or two. Just to say, because your man, like, I'll press the button. No, lads, we'll fucking press the button back at you. Because that's what he's got. He's got the biggest toys in the pram to throw out, old Mr. Putin.
Yeah.
He's got the most, and he's got the biggest shitty stick on the planet.
Yeah.
And he seems like he wants to use it and will use it. you know, he's already used sort of nerve agents and stuff in Syria. And this stuff goes back 8 or 9 years, the whole Aleppo, the whole Syria, the whole, you know, it's not conspiracy theory, you know, it's Putin, it's Brexit, or not Putin, it's Trump, it's Brexit, it's all these things, you know, Cambridge Analytica, Facebook, you know, all the adverts coming out of Russia and whatever. There's been a cyber war going on, and he's trying to change. It's ironic because the more he tries to change everybody to this kind of ethos that he's got, i.e. make me wealthy and fuck the rest of you,
yeah,
the worse it's going for him.
Mm.
Which happens to all these psychopaths, really, you know. And you know, and you see, Trump would have thought that's a great idea because, oh, look at him, you know, I think I can get an extra presidential term out of this. He tried to change the law on how many presidential terms he could have in America because it's set to 2 at the moment. And he thought, you know, Trump thought of himself as this sort of like Western dictatory kind of guy who could manipulate everything, but he was too thick for a finish.
Yeah. And as you said, it is. I mean, ultimately, how Trump got elected.
Yeah, yeah.
So the tentacles of Russia are in everywhere. Everything and everywhere. Yeah. And if you look at the British response, the English response to the war has been quite muted. And you know, there's an issue there with oligarchs and
they've done money. Nothing with Abramovich. Nothing. He's selling his houses. And he can liquidate his assets, but his houses are like 10 or 12 million. It's pocket change to him. You know, he's put his Chelsea, his beloved Chelsea, into stewardship. He can just pile money into that if he wants to, or he can just fuck off if he wants to. You know, they closed the 2 banks. You know, Boris Johnson stood up and said, we're closing the 2 of the biggest banks, whatever. But he's given them 30 days in which to withdraw their money and make other, you know, it's not.
Yeah.
These are not, you know, the political parties in the UK are awash with Russian money. Everywhere's awash with Russian money. That's the one thing that the oligarchs and all the big boys have got lots of. But they're getting pissed off now.
Yeah, thankfully we have no Russian money.
Well, the HSE was done over. Do you remember?
By the Russians.
Yeah, and that crowd. We're trying to do some other things and they got hacked. Somebody decided to hack the hackers.
No way.
Yeah, 2 days ago. Yeah.
Wow. Was that anonymous?
It's some crowd online have come up and said, listen, you know, these are the fuckers that are punting all these lines about everybody and whatever, and they're trying to hold states to ransom and whatever. So we decided to
hack brilliant them
and put all their stuff out online. You know, it's like another Panama Papers thing. So I thought, good on them. But yeah, it's horrible. The whole war thing is just, it's horrible. There's this, you know, we don't know, you know, 15% of the world's flour comes from Ukraine.
Wow.
More than, I think, 20% of the world, corn is grown there. It is the bread basket. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, if this goes on for much longer, the price of like your essentials are going to go through the roof, which really, it just fucks the poorer people. You know,
because people like me and you, Mike, we'll survive. We'll have less money. Yeah. We're, you know, it's going to cost us more to run our car. It'll cost us more to get into work. It'll cost us more to do the shopping every week, all that kind of stuff that will add up. But we will survive. But it's the people who are just about getting by. And if the price of anything goes up, it'll take them down, you know, and that's war always impacts on the poorest because it's the people of the poorest families that get sent out as soldiers. It's the poor people that can't afford the stuff once the price goes, you know,
and I always come back to this. It's more expensive to be poor than it is to be rich or to be middle class and comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, there's a peak, there's a little sort of the weighing scales just kind of go pivot. And if you're poor and things are getting more expensive, it's just you are the one that is just screwed.
Yeah.
The first and the hardest.
But you see, it used to be, I feel like war is different. How the world sees war is different now, because it used to be like, we we saw war in the past as like, you know, good versus evil, the West versus, well, I mean, it was Germany versus the rest of the world for two world wars. But it was more slightly more complicated than that. But it's, you know, it's ultimately just, it's ultimately just somebody with money wanting more money and someone else with money wanting to protect that money. And like, it's not about brave young men going off to war and fighting for their country.
No, and it's on the pretense of some ideological craziness, which is like really right or really left. And they bank all that, and they seem to pull all these people with them, and they're, you know, they become ultra this or ultra the other or whatever, drag a handful of people, and the more psychotic people become and the more ingrained in this belief system they become, the more angry they get that the rest of the people don't see things their way and theirs is the way, and they become more aggressive and more money and land grabbing and want to just power everything. It's all about control and money. You know, and land, it's land, you know, people want land.
Yeah,
they want to rule stuff.
It's land, oil, whatever the fuck, whatever's going on, whatever you have in yourself, we'll control that. Thanks very much.
And I listened to another gentleman the other day talking about I think we might have mentioned this before, that the worst person you could want to become the leader of a country is somebody who wants to become the leader of a country.
Yeah.
You know, that's.
But that also works for politicians.
Yeah.
You know, the worst people that you want to run the country are the people who want to be, you know, a politician.
Exactly.
You know, those people who grow up wanting to be politicians.
Yes. Like,
oh, we do not want you running.
You know, a career politician.
Mm.
What's that all about? They want to keep their job. So every 4 years, they will peddle as much crap at you as they can to keep the next 4 years going. It's only for them. It's not, it's self-interest. No, it's not ideals of anything else. This has got very deep.
Yeah.
Very, very quickly.
It's very heavy, isn't it?
Yeah. I've got a new thing for the show.
Oh, Mike has a new thing for the show. A jingle for the new thing for the show. New thing for the show. Mike's new thing for the show.
Now, what I'm going to do is really poor quality audio. And I'm going to, this was a voice message to you yesterday, and I was out walking and it was windy. So apologies. And if you can't hear it, I will.
if you can't hear it, fuck off.
Yeah. So I'm going to try this. Hold on. I've never done anything like this before. I'm going to try it. Hold on. And I hoped, fuck, I hit the right one because it could be really filth. So get ready to mute. Can you hear? Anonymous listener, right? Oh, hold on a sec.
You're on...
Oh, my God.
You're on double speed or something.
Yeah, how does that happen? How in the name of Jesus did that happen? And now I don't know how to get rid of it. Oh, my Jesus. Oh.
Mike, you've ruined her big...
I have literally ruined the show.
Which one were you going to play?
Oh, hold on a sec. It's...
How many seconds long is it?
It's only, I think it's 39 of, no, it's, I can't tell because it's still. Hold on, here we go. This one.
Dear Keith, an anonymous listener writes in, "Dear Keith, I've been listening to a fantastic play called Who is Aldrich Somebody or Other on BBC Sounds app. It's a really good play. I'm really interested in it, and it's really funny and quirky. I would like to be the person that wrote this play. I'm sick of my current job and life and wish for an opportunity to sit down and be able to write one day. But I know in my heart of hearts that if I was given the opportunity to sit down and write all day, I wouldn't be happy doing that either. So I find myself in a bit of a quandary. Can you help, Keith?"
Did you make any, did you get the gist of that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So you've been listening to a really good play called Who is Aldrich Somebody or Other?
Yeah. Who is Aldrich Kemp?
Ah, I must have a listen to that. Who's all
on the BBC Sounds app? I think it the problem was it was really good until it finished, and then it had a really bad ending. So I wouldn't recommend it to
a friend. Okay.
But I really thought, you know, the listener who rang me.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, the anonymous person thought that they would really like to be the person who wrote that because it's such quirkiness and it was great and it was really teed up really well. But they knew in their heart of hearts that if they took time off work and just wrote stuff, that they would sit down and hate doing that as well. So, they were asking for your advice, Keith.
Okay, my advice, Mike, to the listener, to whoever it was that sent that in, that wants to, is that every morning you should do morning pages.
Oh, morning pages. What if you don't have time to do it in the morning? For the listener, they're very busy in the morning.
You make time.
They're not very good in the morning.
This is my advice. You make time. Ooh. If you don't want my advice, Mike, that's fine. But this is my advice, listener. So I'll just show you. I'll show you an example of my morning pages. Right, see that?
Oh wow! Well, you actually write stuff in the morning.
So every morning I write three pages. Three pages of gobbledygook nonsense, right? It's just scribbles. It's words, but it's just whatever's in my head. I just write out in three pages, three foolscap pages with a pen. And I don't worry about grammar. I don't worry about spelling. I don't worry about, you know, if a sentence doesn't lead properly into another sentence, I just like write. It's the habit of writing. Yeah.
Okay.
You were going to say something, Mike?
No, I was going to say...
You're going to say something on behalf of the person who...
The anonymous person then said to me that if he came up with something about journaling or something like that, does it have to be sort of in context, in like on that day? Is it diarizing or is it just a...
You can, like, most of the morning I'll sit down and just to start myself off, I go, oh, it's Tuesday, I'll do the weather, and then I just start talking. I just write what's in my head. And if what's in my head is like, fuck that fucking dick, bastard head, I hate that guy. If it's someone I'm angry with, I'll write that out. You know, if it's something that I've been thinking about overnight or something that happened to me yesterday or something that I'm not looking forward to that day, or I hate my job and I have to jump in my car, I have to do this and that, blah, 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 blah. And you just write all your thoughts, whatever's going on in your head, write it out. And then I have to, and that dog, and if the dog came in and pissed in the corner, you might go, oh, no, the dog's after pissing in the corner. That's another thing to worry about. But you might be a bit like, you might be feeling grateful that day. So you're like, oh my God, so the sun is shining. It's nearly the summer. I can feel it. You know, the birds are out in the back garden. Whatever you're feeling, you write it down and you just do three foolscap pages and you do that every morning and you make time. So you get up, it only takes you about, you know, 10 or 15 minutes. You get up a little bit earlier and then you go about your day. And my feeling, Mike, for you is that that's not like you might end up journaling, like writing three pages of a play every morning if that was, but the idea of these is not to write something, it's not for purpose, it's just to get you going. And I feel like if you did that every day, you would eventually find time in the day to sit down and write other stuff as well. I don't know how it works, I don't know what the science behind it is, but it works, Mike. So
wow, that is interesting.
So it's called journaling, or there's a book called The Artist's Way, that is this book here, and it's basically a course you can do. You do it at home yourself, and it's a spiritual path to higher creativity. Don't mind the spiritual shit, but but it's not like, it's not, it is, it does seem religious, but it's not like...
I give you advice, but don't mind the spiritual shit.
Well, I know that if I said it's a spiritual path or something, that might immediately for you go, oh, fuck that.
Yes,
shit.
It would. That would be a massive nay. In fact, we must mention your last podcast, or the last podcast of the Keith Walsh podcast. Which
anyway, will you try?
I'll talk to the anonymous person.
Will you talk to the anonymous person and see if they'll try that for a week?
Yeah. It's just a time, isn't it?
Why? You got time to sit, like you probably spend 10 minutes looking out the window scratching your arse.
No, you don't. You see, I get up.
Yeah.
Everything in my morning is regimented.
What time do you get up at?
6:35.
Could you get up a little bit earlier? No.
How dare you?
Could you? Yeah, you see, it's morning pages, really. And every morning you get up at 6:35?
No. Sometimes I do. If I go to work, I get up at 6:35.
And you start every day at 6. That's the only shift you do.
No, unfortunately, now you come to the second, dear Keith. And I'm paraphrasing the caller now because I don't want to play it on that thing anymore because I think the quality was too shit. But it came something along the lines of, Dear Keith, I've been working on a 3-day week from November to March. As March dawns upon us in these early days, I am now expected to go back to 5 days a week. I now feel like a bag of shit and I don't want to do any days a week. Dear Keith, can you help us with this? I messed up the last bit there. Help them with this.
I can't do anything about your job situation, but it does lead me to not your job situation, the person's job situation. It does bring me back to the question I had was, does that person have to work the same shift each day? Do they always have to get up at 6:35? Do you know?
No, Keith, their shift patterns are all over the shop at the moment, which makes for even more excruciating days of having to plan and set different alarms for different fucking days and different fucking times. So they got to get up at different fucking times and go to bed at different fucking times. So you're all over the fucking shop for the whole fucking summer. I'm paraphrasing.
What's your earliest time you have to get up at?
About 5:45.
And then 6:35 isn't too bad, is it?
Yeah, then 8:20, and one of them is like 9 o'clock or 10. There's actually a 12 o'clock shift.
So how many of the really early shifts would you have to do?
I think the person has to do maybe 6 a month of each type of shift.
Oh yeah, so it's a nice spread. So you might get like
no, it's not, Keith. It's not. It's not a nice spread. That's not that you're putting words into their mouth.
As in. You're not. Are you going to get like? Do you work 5 days in a row, or is it like 3 days on, 2 days off?
Oh, now you're asking some pertinent questions. So some dumb fuck has gone like 3 on, 1 off, 3 on, 1 off, 5 on, 2 off, 6. I mean, for fuck's sake!
You've no idea. So there's no pattern. There's no set.
None whatsoever. And I used to write rosters all my life.
Hmm.
That's what I told that person who rang me anonymously.
Mike, you're a great roster guy.
I was a great roster guy. And I always let people have 2 days off, finishing on an early, going back on a late.
That was self-preservation.
If
this is your first time listening to this, it was me and Mike used to work together. He was my boss in a hotel in London way back. That's why we're doing this podcast. Blah, 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 blah. Go on anyway. He's great, great roster.
Yeah. So, yeah. So this person has the audacity to not give people 2 days off at a time and fuck their life up.
Right. Okay. So
that's a powerful thing.
Okay. So that is what it is, Mike, right? You're going to have to, dealing with that anyway. You're going to have to continue to deal with that, right? So all you can do outside, so that's outside of your control, right? So what we try and do.
Unless the listener, which there was another thing in their ear saying they should get a new job, which they've been offered.
Oh.
So that was the other dear Keith.
Right. Let's hear that message.
Here's another dear Keith. Dear Keith, in the course of my duties, hoovering my house the other day, I received a telephone call from somebody I used to know. This person went a roundabout way of telling me that they were looking for people to work with them at a very good rate and with nice sort of, sort of
perks
and, you know, plenty of way to make extra cash. This rattled me. And probably the second time in a week, another opportunity has arisen. So this rattled me further. And all of a sudden, when you're rattled, you look at your current situation and think, is the grass greener? Please help, Keith.
Ooh, Mike, that person, that anonymous letter writer has, this is an interesting time. for them.
It is an interesting time for them, yes.
How do you... I suppose I'd need to... It's very difficult. What do they want help with, Mike? Do you think? Like just to make them feel better, or do they want advice on what to do?
I think they were looking for advice on what... I think they know in their heart of hearts that if they took a another more responsible job, they might have to sort of sort their shit out a little bit more and be a bit more responsible. And they've done that in the past and kind of didn't like it, but it would at least give them the opportunity to write their own hours.
Oh, wow.
Which may allow them to journal a lot more.
That's very tempting.
Mm.
Yeah, you see, like, I think this the thing is here, we need to look at what we control. Control the controllable and try not to control the uncontrollable, because that will only frustrate you. So what are the things that you have control over?
This is not me. This is the other
one. What are the things that this guy has control over? So say, for instance, he stays in the job he's in, right?
They identify as her.
Her.
Yeah.
Say, for instance, she stays in the job she's in. She can't control her hours. She can't control the roster. But she can control getting up a little bit early to journal every morning.
She could. That is a controllable situation, yes.
That's something that person could control. So even just... Because very, very often people want to change things and they want to change everything. But sometimes one little change that doesn't upset the apple tart, as a famous former Taoiseach once said.
Who said that?
Bertie. Don't upset the apple tart. It's all snakes.
Makes more sense than the apple tart.
It's all snakes and daggers. snakes and daggers. So that means you could just make one slight change with journaling every morning. But maybe the job opportunity is an opportunity for you to go, okay, I'm maybe the, for this woman, life has been, they have been passive in their life, right? Maybe she feels a bit passive in her life. And maybe this is an opportunity for this woman to take control and be and make a decision. I don't mean a positive decision as in this is positive, this is negative. I mean, make a decision as in, okay, I'm now making a decision. I'm going to stop being passive. I'm going to make a decision that, which means that I'm in control of things going forward. Now, it's scary and it's like, shit, am I going to have to get my shit together? Am I going to have to like turn up looking presentable every day? And, you know, how do I look now? And how do I feel now? And how do I want, and all that kind of stuff.
But they feel they've done that before. So that's an easy enough sort of to get back on.
Yeah, of course they've done. Yeah, of course it's an easy. And also it's like, okay, so this is my, so then you get the opportunity to go, okay, so I'm going to do this. And my job is just my job, right? So she needs to remember that. Her job is just her job. It's just a way of earning some money. But it allows her the opportunity to do all the things, like maybe journaling in the morning or whatever it is, a bit of writing then that will come from journaling, maybe a night course, because she couldn't do that now because her shifts are all over the place. She can't really plan anything. But she could plan if she had a bit more structure and a bit more, you know, if she was in charge of the hours she worked, that would, so then the controllables become bigger, because for me, the job she's in now is so all fucking over the shop. It gives her if she wants, an excuse to not do anything else for herself, because she's like, well, everything fucking all over the place. What's the point of starting anything? What's the point of booking anything? What's the point? I don't know what shifts I'm going to be working in 3 months' time, whatever. But also, it's not an excuse; it's a fact. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, possibly another opportunity with more structure allows her the opportunity to control, to feel less passive, and more in control of what she does next and what she decides to do. That would be my advice to her, if you want to pass that
on. She also just texted me there, because she's listening to this conversation. She texted me to say that she feels like she may have wasted the three-day week that she had during the winter.
Yeah.
And squandered the other 4 days, you see.
Yeah, but you see,
I think there's a lot of regret in what, you know, it was.
But did she? Because I don't know this woman well, but I have a feeling that she wrote a few short stories. I have a feeling that she did she might have done her own podcast for lockdown.
She did, and she helped out other things. I mean, she was very busy, but yeah, not busy for her.
There was a lot of unknowns back then. Like, and it was lockdown. You're being told whether you go back to work, when you go back to work. You didn't know that the 4 day week was going to last, or the 4 days off a week was going to last forever. It was kind of like, oh, I might as well enjoy this while I can. That's psychologically, that's okay. You know, I mean, we've all done that, and that's fine. Maybe she needed that break. You know, maybe she needed that time off.
You know, maybe she needed to recover.
High blood pressure, and she needed to get that something. Or something.
Yeah, may have had a murmur or something.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Ingrown toenail. Or may have
got a fucking verruca on her left fucking foot.
Ouch. Underneath, right underneath, on the base. Fuck.
Yeah, the last time she had a verruca was on the tip of the middle toe, which was possibly the sorest place ever to have a verruca. Wow. I had to go to the doctor. She was telling me this the other day. We talked about. And it was really, really sore, apparently. I had to go and get it iced out and whatever. But now she's on the Solitol or whatever it's called, drips that you put on it. And she was funny because she was talking about verrucas and nits being the same thing. There was a dirtiness.
Verruca. Yeah. Dirty, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, dirty. Yeah. Dirty, she felt like she'd been dirty in the pool.
Oh, yeah. They've got verrucas, that family down the road. But Mike, I think her trauma and her, you explained it in the letter. She explains how she was hoovering and then this person got in touch with them, and that left her feeling shook. Was that how you described it?
Rattled, I think.
Rattled, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's because ultimately in her heart of hearts, she knows it's time to make a change, and she can't put off making that change anymore, because sometimes the universe presents you with the opportunities to make that change, and it's the struggle between the struggle between doing what you know is probably the right thing and the fear of what's on the other side of that decision, you know.
Yeah, and it couldn't have come at a worse time for her, because she was hoovering, enjoying her hoovering, and but the thought of the having to go back to work full time is there. There's this kind of built up a wedge of anxiety,
yeah,
little wall of anxiety,
yeah,
because losing control and not having as much time at home, whatever. This person, I mean, I know her, she does not want to work. She would rather watch television.
Is that an option?
Not at the moment, I wouldn't have thought, no.
How many years has she got left in her working years?
Probably 10.
So do you think, I wonder, would she like to just give it one last rattle for a few years?
I think she might do, yeah, and ultimately become more comfortable in the long term. Yeah, she might want to do that. I don't know.
I think she might, and I think if I know her, if I know the woman you're talking about, the kids might be growing up.
Yeah, they'd be gone with that. So. So
her husband might be busy doing his own thing.
Yeah, he works. He works hard. Yeah,
maybe she took a back seat for a little while to focus on family, and now it's her time again.
Yeah, and this is where this podcast started off, that the listener didn't get, is that we love women.
Yeah, and it's women's time.
Yeah, because the two Johnnies were anti-women.
They appeared to be
for a time.
In what they were saying, but they weren't. You missed out in the context of it.
Yeah, exactly. So the listener to this doesn't get the context of the two Johnnies gag that I just gave, because they didn't listen, and they'll never listen because you didn't hit the fucking press record.
Okay, you're just derailing the conversation because I really need to nail this. I was nearly said nail this woman. I really need to nail this problem for this woman. You see?
See, if somebody took that out of context,
I'd be done.
Yep.
So Mike, tell her there might be an opportunity here. And maybe it's time to be brave and put on her big boy boots and see what's on the other side of that decision.
Yeah. I think you might have to have a word with her. I'll tell her what I'll do. I'll tell her to listen to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we got a lot of positives out of this. We talked about the variables, being controlling the variables, and then being in control of the variables as much as you can with your destiny or your future.
And I think that her experience of working in this type of environment or job before will be different to the new her, the new.
Yeah, I think you're right, because I think she's grown up as a lot of people have done. They've come out of this lockdown, come into what they were used to, and they thought, Jesus, I have in my personal life. I've come out of the lockdown and thought, wow, this life balance thing is all over the shop. It's wrong.
Yeah.
We're not living, we're just doing. You know?
Yeah. And I definitely, like me personally, working a 9-to-5 job, I feel like there's times where I struggle against it because I don't like being told what to do. I don't like structure. I don't like conforming. I have a big problem with conforming.
You have a big problem with pressing recording.
Conforming and recording, they're my two big fears. But I know it's good for me, and I know it anchors me, and I know that now, post, like what I learned during lockdown and from my last experience of work, of my job before, I take with me now, in that, yes, I do work and I have a job, and it is, like, you know, mostly 40 hours a week that I have to do in that job, but I make sure that I do the things that I like to do as well as that.
Yeah.
And I do work for me. I do my own stuff. I do the podcast, or I do some writing, or as I started doing a bit of stand-up now, or, you know, that I have to, that I never should have stopped doing those things.
And listen,
or I never should have not started doing those things.
How did the stand-up go?
Well, I can tell you in a sec, but Mike, will you promise to pass that on to her and make her listen to this podcast? She's listening anyway, probably, is she?
She remotely on my phone.
Will you tell her to let me know how she gets on and what decision she makes? Does she have? When does she have to make this decision?
Nothing is written in stone.
Okay.
The beauty of this situation is that you can just jog along. Maybe she was saying, explained to me the other day, that the status quo is manageable, and, you know, just easy. That's the one thing that she's kind of at odds with. That what she's doing at the moment is easier than what she possibly could be doing. But who knows?
But
who can tell?
Easier. It doesn't sound easy because...
No, there's a lack of control.
Yeah, because the roster, like, that would drive me insane.
Yeah, I think she's a bit of a control freak.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, I don't think there is anything wrong with that. No.
What are you trying to control? Your own life? That's okay.
Yeah. Don't think there's anything wrong with anxiety. Don't think there's anything wrong with controlling yourself, trying to, or stuff around you.
As long as you do it in a healthy way.
Yes, exactly. Not locking people in cupboards and taking the Sky remote with you to work. I read that during the week. This is nothing to do with the phone or the anonymous letter, but there was there was a case of in England, so coercive behaviour, which is something we've never touched on. But fucking hell, this fella, he was leaving the house, and he was taking various cables with him, a different one every day, and different remotes, and taking all the batteries and all this sort of stuff, so that his wife wouldn't be able to watch television if she had 5 minutes. But he left her a list of stuff to do.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, yeah, that's another, that is a completely another story, of was just when we mentioned controlling. Yeah, you know, someone start controlling the fuck out of everything. But yeah, this guy, fucking psycho.
Wow.
Unplugging the satellite dish was one of his things.
Gaslighting.
Massively.
And just blatantly controlling.
Controlling, yeah.
A lot of that goes on, like people don't know the extent.
Money, no. People, you know, only I can have access to the accounts and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah. I'll give you your money.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But they were also talking about a woman doing it to a guy as well. And I forget what it was reading it now. It was I think it was a case history of coercive behavior, or because it's a new law and they were going through stuff. But the females being controlling over the men were much more I don't want to say aggressive, but really quite nasty.
Wow.
You know, and causing physical harm.
Yeah.
Whereas the men, it was all mental.
Yeah.
Odd as fuck. Anyway, yeah.
Scary bit. Bananas. Like for that's someone's life reality.
Yeah, imagine. Yeah.
And out to the rest of the world, that couple will appear to be
brand spanking new. Yeah.
Fine, upstanding members of the community.
Yeah.
The stand up, Mike. I think I've done my fourth bit of stand up now. I went up to Dublin to do a proper kind of comedy club. You know, these like they take over the basement or the upstairs of a bar, and it's just like, you know, they just, you know, set up, and there was about maybe 30 people there, all kind of foreigners, on, you know, tourists looking for a bit of comedy on a Tuesday night. And because up until then I'd done it mostly in Keith's Comedy Club. I just got up and did 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 minutes, and I really enjoyed it. It was really good.
Were you properly shitting yourself?
There's been moments where I have been, but like as I do it, what I've kind of have in my head, like a lot of the time I have stuff written, but I'm not sure exactly what way it's going to go once I get up on stage, what I'm going to say, but I have stories I can tell. And what I'm doing at the moment is trying to get used to the awkwardness of standing up on stage and not being afraid of like silence. So like breathing, just relax on the stage. Say whatever comes into your head. Don't panic. Don't worry about it too much. Just be cool. And, you know, I was talking about how age, you know, my age, you know, I was saying like I'm late to be starting this kind of stuff. You know, I'm 48, I'm old or whatever. And I kind of looked over, and this is an old Dublin style pub, but there was a picture of a Victorian lady in a picture frame. And as I was chatting, I was going, I'm 48 now. I'm like, that's my wife. And, you know, and then I just went, I said, she's dead now. And that just became a thing, you know. So it was, people just thought that was funny, you know. I was able to just be very in the moment, just shy talking. You know, I had some idea of where I was going to go, but I was able to just, you know, stop and say, you know, I was talking about, ended up talking about how many times are you supposed to have sex if you're in a married, you know, every week, how many times are you supposed to have sex, you know. And I was going around the room asking people how, and everybody was like, I don't know. They were all in couples, so they were afraid to say. You know, I was like, are you supposed to have sex once a day, once a week? So that was just something that just came up, you know, as it were.
Boom.
So yeah, I really enjoyed it. I really felt like that was my, like, I'm not sure how funny I was or how, like, people were laughing and stuff, but I'm not sure how to gauge the success. But the success for me was that I was up there. And I was comfortable, and I was kind of able to just roll with it, even though I kind of had a story and a structure. I really liked it. Like, it confirmed that I do really like it, and it is really something that I'd like to do more of, you know. So
I couldn't think of anything worse for me to do. I would just be petrified. Fair play. I would just, you know. The thought of, because every comic you ever hear, you know, the first gig I did was the worst gig I did, you know, and it was like, and it fell flat in my face, and why would you go back in and do it and whatever? And they talk about, you know, the awkward silences and all this sort of stuff. But I suppose most of the stuff we listen to now, comedy-wise, they're our age, and they've been doing it for 20 years, so they should be good at this stage. Or if not, they wouldn't have made a success of it. So when you are 20, you are kind of like, and you can imagine the fear and the panic gripping you.
Yeah.
And I would still get that at this age, you know. Yeah. I mean, you've done a lot of public stuff. I haven't, you know. I would just be fucking. I'm actually wringing my top here, thinking of it. My hands have gone white. I'm like, oh my god, yeah.
And it's like sweat. But it's even like, I mean, I listen to a lot of comedy podcasts and stuff, and I've heard them talking about, you know, seeing somebody doing their first gig and not even being able to control their hand even. Feel that, just, oh yeah, I get that, you know. And it's
did you mean to not make any noise there? I can't control. Did you mean to do that?
Yeah, well, I thought someone was coming in the door. I stopped talking. Yeah, so, and you see, I did a little bit on Saturday night with, and we had Deirdre O'Kane and Emma Dorn.
Yes.
They were on stage at Keith's Comedy Club in Newbridge, in Judge Roy Beans. And Jesus, like Emma and Deirdre are brilliant. Like Deirdre's like watching, like, because she's a little bit older than me, but she's been at it for years. She is a fucking absolute pro. Like, you know, just to see her at work is just like, oh my god. And part of it made me think, just fucking stop, don't even try anymore, Keith.
Yeah.
And the other half of me was like even more determined to do it because she was so brilliant. I was like, oh, imagine being that good at doing that. Like, so look, am I a bit old to be starting this kind of thing? Possibly. No. But also fuck that shit, you know. Like I made a joke. I was talking about the war and, you know, as all men would do, is like, what if you had to join up, if you had to go to war and, you know, help defend Ukraine, would you do it? You know, and I was like, oh god, yeah, maybe, probably, I don't know. I mean, you know, and then I thought, actually, I'm probably too old. Like in World War II, it's probably people like me were probably the elderly, and we were probably given like hurley sticks and told to guard, you know, the local fire station or something, or, you know, I'd be marching up and down my own drive as a, you know, sort of, but as soon as that thought entered my head that I might be too old, I was like, fuck that. I'd end up in war just to prove somebody else wrong.
I'm not too old.
Like the guy who told me like you shouldn't run marathons after a certain age. And that was the year I ran 3 marathons just to fucking prove him wrong.
It's probably not very good for your knees.
My hips haven't been the same since. but it's that thing of someone saying you might be too old for something that makes you go,
yeah, fuck that. But no, I don't think you are. I think comedy and I think the ability to be relaxed on stage and to have this internal thing going and you have stories and you can ad lib at the same time proves that you're sort of, you're going at least down the right sort of track with it, you know?
Mm.
Keep going, I say. Keep going. Did you have to perform in front of Deirdre O'Kane as well?
Yeah, she was there. She was backstage. Oh. Yeah, but
she
was listening.
Did she give you any words of encouragement?
No, she said, "Yeah, really good. Just keep doing it. Stick at it. Stick with it. Really good.
There you go.
It was really good. Really good for your second gig." She said, "I mean, for whatever it was, third." She said, "When I did my third gig, I was vomiting. So she said, "Definitely keep it going." And we had been chatting earlier, and she was like, "You've loads of material. Just." Keep working at it, you know. So she was very encouraging, and I should mention Emma Dorn has been very, very encouraging as well, and sent me the names of people and clubs up in Dublin to get in touch with and all that kind of stuff. So plenty of encouragement and help, and so yeah, I will keep going, Mike.
Do crack on, and I think we should invite now the people who've been listening this evening to have a Dear Keith.
I think, and writers from yourself or writers from some made up woman, whichever.
She's not made up. She's my friend.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, man. I don't even know how long this has been because we missed the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, you tit.
Tits. We didn't get to do a check it out.
What have I watched?
I've been watching. Are you a Star Wars fan? Have we mentioned Star Wars before?
Yeah.
Have you watched the new Star Wars stuff, like the Book of Boba Fett or any of that?
That's Sorry, I thought you were talking about Star Trek. Yes, Book of Boba Fett. Yes.
Yeah. Have you watched it?
Perfect television.
Again. Hello? Come in.
Somebody's knocking on his door.
Hi, Finn.
It's his son.
Just recording the podcast. We've finished. We're just wrapping it up now. Which in five? Is that right? Okay. You okay, bud?
He's okay. Finn is okay. That's good news. Finn is okay. Book of Boba Fett, absolutely perfect, along the lines of The Mandalorian. But I thought it was almost better than The Mandalorian, although everybody said the first four episodes of Boba Fett were really boring. I found them fantastic, of him sort of, you know, telling the story of how he got to be there. I thought it was really good. And then it did reach a crescendo. Lots of faces came in that we weren't expecting. I nearly cried at one point. It was just beautiful, and it was real Western. I mean, people with, you know, snoods and neckerchiefs and whatever, and cowboy hats and gunslinging, and it was just brilliant.
Yeah.
And even some of the episodes were 40 minutes long. I thought they passed in the blink of an eye, literally. Like, what happened? Why isn't there more? I want to see more of this. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. I love the fantastical characters, like the I love the woman who's the mechanic who fixes his
brilliant
his new car machine.
Oh, and she flying puts it together. Oh wow,
that whole scene, that whole montage of them putting that together was brilliant. She's a great character. But even like I love the little moments where like you see the opening of the new program and the scene is set, you see like a little town and it's nighttime, there's a town in the background, and then like this little tiny little fucking alien, half alien rabbit sort of scurries across the screen. Yes. And then this fucking other alien type thing comes out and eats it, like, but that's just a little tiny aside, you know. There's always stuff going on, like
there's extra. I it's exactly what I said to Jimmy. I said I've got to watch it again because I missed half of it.
Yeah,
the detail is just superb.
Really,
John Favreau, the guy who wrote it, is a genius.
It's like genius. I like comics. I like comic books.
Yes,
it's a comic book. It's a moving, breathing, living comic book. That's the style, and it's brilliant.
And the art at the end of it.
Yeah,
they can actually see where they've come. The art of the scenes. It is like flicking through a really good comic at the end. Brilliant. Absolutely, everything about it is just fantastic.
Yeah.
Some people have said your man who plays Boba Fett, the Kiwi guy, is a bit of a shit actor. But I think Star Wars has always had its good fair share of shitty, kind of almost over the top acting. You know?
Yeah, it's a type of acting though, isn't it? It's like
it's it's a bit. It's almost overacting.
It's like a comic acting almost.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. And he's just a miserable Kiwi fella. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boba Fett, let's go and kill him.
I think it's fine. I think it's jarring initially if you haven't watched Mandalorian. I think the style of it, people might find, oh, this is, as you said, like, oh, the acting is terrible, or this is terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Forget about that.
Go with it.
Let it happen. Don't turn your critical eye off and just enjoy it.
It is phenomenal. I was listening to James O'Brien interviewing Keir Starmer, the English Labour leader. In fact, it's quite topical. I think the Irish Labour leader, Alan Kelly, is about to
step down, isn't he? Yeah.
I don't know what the score that was going on there.
I saw at one point he had stepped down, and then saw that on social media, and then I was listening to the news, and he hadn't. They were just, but there was talk was he was going to.
Maybe he's learning to dance for Lanigan's Ball.
Ooh.
I stepped in again. Yeah.
Learning to dance for landing ball. Six long months, we spent in double and six long months doing nothing at all. Six long months, we spent in double
and learning to dance for landing ball. Everybody knows the words of that. Yeah, I'm going to go off now and listen to some more podcasts, and we'll do more of a chat. Check it out next week. And we must do this more next week, because I do feel like my friend has spoken.
Yeah, that's good, man.
Yeah.
Keep the faith.
Okay, brother. Go watch football with your son.
Yes.
Enjoy the evening.
I think Liverpool are playing. I will enjoy the evening.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. And namaste.
Namaste. My brother. Namaste. I see the God in you. Isn't that what it means?
Oh, yeah. Listen.
The artist's way. A
spiritual path to higher creativity. The artist's way brings much insight, gently helping you to see what is holding you back and showing you how to move forward. Martin Scorsese wrote, "This is a book that addresses a delicate and complex subject. For those who will use it, it is a valuable tool to get in touch with your own creativity." Martin Scorsese.
Fucking hell. That's it. We can't better that.
No. No. It's happening, Mike.
I wonder, did Martin Scorsese ever forget to press record?
Probably. He probably fucking did.
Right. I got to go, guy.
Bye, Mike. Bye. Thank you.
Miss you. All love right. you. Need you.
Mind yourself. In say hello to the West. Good luck. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.